for nature,
for the ocean,
for people,
for animals.
Hey, beautiful Sounders Planet community. It's amazing that you're here today, guys. Really, really cool. I can tell you today the interview will be really fun. You see already this beautiful lady smiling. This
Thank
is
you.
Eva Leptipla. Hey, Eva, yeah. It's amazing that you're here.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, I'm very happy that you are my guest today. For everybody who doesn't know Eva yet, check out her YouTube channel and check out her social media pages everywhere. Eva is a really good friend of mine, even if I don't see her very much. I met her on the Sea Shepherd campaign, so she's a volunteer for Sea Shepherd as well. And she did so many amazing things already in the last years. She's a vegan chef. And she has so much to tell us and so much to share. And I'm so happy to see you today, Eva, really, because we
need to
for so long. And it's
such
really
a pleasure. I know. Same.
It's too long ago.
Oh,
well,
no.
Welcome. First of all, welcome that you're here. It's amazing. Awesome. Well, really cool. Eva, can you tell us a little bit about your vegan chef? How did that come? I mean, what was the first thing that happened that you started to think about veganism, or you started to think about vegetarianism first, maybe? I don't know
what
your story is, but tell us about this a little bit.
Yeah, well, it was 8 years ago. I was a dancer, and I just wanted to get involved into protecting the ocean. I mean, volunteering for anything that makes sense for justice. Could be for people, could be for the animals, could be for the planet. And I discovered the organization Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, and I saw their action. And suddenly, like, it was such an evidence, I want to be a part of this organization. They are saboteurs. They have an impact. They have results. So I'm gonna apply for this. But the thing was that I was, had no skills into to crew as an engineer or as a navigator. Like, I'm not a captain. I'm not, you know. So, but I was able to cook a little bit. I love to eat.
So, like we all do. I mean,
So I applied as a chef. I was not even vegetarian at this moment, or maybe vegetarian since few months. And so I discovered for the first time in my life, because I'm French and in France, we are so late about the plant-based diet.
Yeah.
So 8 years ago, I heard for the first time about the plant-based diet, and I discovered, like, okay, but you can join as a chef. But the thing is that you're going to need to feed everyone with the plant-based diet, which is veganism. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck? I mean, what is it?
So okay,
I had to learn. I had to learn on my own. I bought my first recipe book. Just one used to exist in France, and it's called Vegan.
Really? You know? That's simple.
And yeah, mm-hmm. I did my first campaign with you, actually.
That was your first campaign, right?
Yeah, it was my first campaign.
And I have to say, I was crewing there as a diver. And I really have to say, when I think back, I would not have thought that you are not a vegan chef already, because your food was amazing. Like, amazing. Really, I have to say that.
I think it was amazing because, first, thank you. But I think it was amazing because it was, like, instantly I discovered the diversity of the plant-based diet, and it was very challenging for me, and I was very passionate about what we were doing. It was very emotional for me because we were doing action. We were making action for the Mediterranean Sea, and I come from Marseille, so I was born next to the Mediterranean Sea, and I saw through the years how much we lost. So much biodiversity, and you know, and it was very important for me to be a part of this campaign. So I was like, okay, it's an honor to be here, and I'm gonna do my job, and I'm gonna do it well. So let's do this, and let's do this in a proper way, you know. So instantly it was passion. I didn't know that, but it was a life changer for sure. And during 3 months, so I've been cooking for the first day of the campaign till the last, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, every day was a new day. Every day was a new challenge. Every day was such a pleasure also to cook for people that were taking actions. And, you know, it was a mix of so many things. Mm-hmm. And it was my way to thank the volunteers. Like, guys, you're doing a great job. And we had so much results. Like, the campaign was great. And it was my way to
thank. Can you tell a little bit about what the campaign was about? People might not know. It was a ghost net campaign. Can you tell a little bit about your experience to see, or what you thought about the ghost nets and what was happening in this campaign?
Yeah, well, we were looking for ghost nets. It means that some nets are lost into the sea from fishermen or whatever, and they keep on, you know, fishing for free, for nothing. And they are like big balls into the sea, into the deep seas, and they are traps. They are traps for everyone, for the fishes, for the turtles, for the sharks, for whales, you know, all animals from the sea. So our job was basically to work with some fishermen or divers to know, like, if a fisherman lost his nets. So we went to this place and we took the net off the sea. Mm-hmm. So we took so much ghost nets from the sea, and it was really like very satisfying to take this trap out of the sea and to release animals. I remember that we released a ray, we released, you know, a few animals, and suddenly, actually, it's in this book. One of my texts is talking about that. Like, what is your favorite memory in the fact that you've been working for 7 years, 8 years with Sea Shepherd? And I was like, there's so many memories. There's so much stuff I've done that was very intense. But I would say that it was the first time I released an animal from a net, from a ghost net. It was, I don't know, I'm not sure I know the name in English.
Lobster?
Yeah, kind of. Lobster.
Lobster. With one side, a big arm.
And so we were working for 20 minutes to free that lobster from the net. And we didn't even know if it was still alive. But suddenly he started to crack. Like, you know, they don't scream, they just crack. Mm-hmm. And as we were releasing him, he started to crack, like, mm-hmm. We knew he was alive, you know, and we didn't know since how long. And he was so fragile, like full of, you know, everything he is, mm-hmm. into a net, into a big nut. And so
I think I had that picture still.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I had that somewhere. So this moment was the most beautiful for you then to release it?
Yeah, because I understood that first I was not cooking that day. I was helping the people at sea. Mm-hmm. And so I could take action, direct action, and I was participating to release this animal. And when we managed to release him, and I had the chance to put it back into the blue ocean, and this feeling, you know, to freeze someone,
yeah,
an individual, and to free and give his life back, it means the world to me. Like, time stopped. We were all very focused on one goal, which was that his life was important, no matter what kind he is. It was protecting the life. And I will never, never forget that moment. And I remember that I put it back to the ocean. And I remember that I was saying that, do you still hear me? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember that I said that I just hope it's not gonna end to a plate. Mm-hmm. And everything just made sense from this first campaign. like the fact that everything comes from the plate. If you want to have, if you want to be the change, you have to start with your plate for sure. Everything I saw, everything I, yeah, it's just because we are eating the ocean.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Just makes sense. So just makes true. Sense. I know now we are, I know now how I can have an impact, how I can act as an individual, you know?
Mm-hmm. This is so amazing to hear because it even for me, I can feel it. It just makes so much sense. And what you're saying is so beautiful. Thank you for sharing this story. As I have kind of the same, very different, but very much the same. My first moment was really as well when I freed a fish from a ghost net. That was changed me to be an activist. Hey, can you tell me a little bit about your books? Because you wrote one cookbook, which is called Eva Le Petit Plat.
Le Petit Plat Eva.
Really cool. So maybe guys, you can hear Eva is from France, so French. Le Petit Plat means the small plate, right?
Yeah, the small dishes, the little dishes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about your first book? And then you can tell me a little bit about the book, which is there behind you as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's I just wrote my first book a few years ago. It's all my recipes from YouTube because I started my YouTube channel a few years ago. And I just wanted to make a proper book with all the recipes because suddenly I was like, wow, I have more than 100 recipes. Let's put that in a book because even me, I was... not even sure sometimes, did I make some lasagna? Did I make, so people can have a book and check, okay, I have a carrot. What can I cook, you know? So I wanted to make their life easier. Like if you want to stop eating meat or fish or dairy, just many people just don't know how. Mm. And so you can have the recipe, the details of the recipe in the book and the video on YouTube. So if you don't know how to cook, you know, weird vegan stuff like seitan, like tempeh, like PVP, like, and yeah, so I did my first book and it's been doing great. And now it's, this book is a book from Sea Shepherd France. It's a cookbook too. Many recipes. It's very thick. And like, yeah. It's called Contre Courant. I could not translate it, but it's it's written cook, protect and act.
Against the current? No.
Against the current, yeah.
Might be that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, my French is not so bad. So sometimes.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And so, yeah, show us the page because there's a beautiful page with a nice picture of you.
Awesome. I know, right? So you have more than 90 recipes, all kinds, like how we cook, how we eat on board the Sea Shepherd ship, very family stuff.
Mm.
And yeah, it's me, this page.
Nice. So beautiful.
This is so beautiful.
Yeah,
definitely. And we are many chefs from Sea Shepherd that have been writing this book and give recipes. What is very cool in that book is that each recipe has its own track, music track. So you can make the recipe and listen to the track.
Nice.
And so we had to give recipes, but also our favorite tracks because music is a part of our lives when we are on a ship. We always listen to music, especially in the galley.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, this book is so great. It's just brand new. It just, it's out since months.
Yeah, just released. I can remember when you told me we wanted to do this podcast interview already some week ago. And then at the last moment you said, I forgot there is the book coming out. So it's
It's a great book. There's also an introduction by Paul Watson, by Lamia Essemlali, which is a Sea Shepherd France founder and co-director of Sea Shepherd Global. And there's also an introduction about why we go plant-based on the Sea Shepherd ship, which is conservation ships. Mm-hmm. And also a full chapter about fishes, like why do we need to stop, give money to the fishing industry and why we have to stop eating fishes.
Yeah.
And also nutrition facts. It's a great book. It's I'm so proud. I'm like it's the most beautiful book I have now in my
nice. Does working. It exist as well in English or is it or another
it's
language?
French.
It's French. The book is French and only French for now.
For now, yeah, but I think it's gonna be translated in English for sure. Yeah. Great. Yeah, they are working on it. Yeah.
Well, nice. Cool, cool. Hey, girl, can you tell me a little bit about which other campaigns have you been on? I think you have been as well in Mexico, right?
Yep.
Not so long ago. I think that was this year.
Yeah. I've been in Mexico 3 years ago. I joined the Milagro 5 campaign. It's an anti-poaching campaign. It's one of the most violent and dangerous campaigns in the world, anti-poaching campaign. We were protecting the vaquitas. I mean... It's if you want to know better about that campaign, you can see the documentary. It's called Sea Shadows, Sea of Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was very intense. It's crazy. It's war, actually. It's war because it's against us. It's Mexican cartel and Chinese mafia. And on board, we have some people from the military, Mexican army, I mean, with guns and stuff. So, yeah. I mean,
it's not just fun, huh? I have an interview for everyone who wants to listen to that and wants to know more about the Vaquita Marina. I have an interview as well with Wolfgang Knöpfler. He's one of the of Terra Mater. He's one of the filmmakers of the
nice.
Shadows. So you can listen to that podcast too, guys.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And then I also joined a campaign in Bahamas. It was more humanitarian. It was after an hurricane. And some people just lost everything, their houses, electricity, everything. And some islands were, you had to take a boat, like navigate 7 hours to be able to join the little islands where people just lost everything. So we put many, many, many donations from around the world, mm-hmm. like first needs.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going from Bahamas to these little islands to provide the donations to people, and it was amazing. It was amazing. We've been working with other organizations also on that time, and yeah, I made a few campaigns like that in the Mediterranean Sea, Atlantic. I also, when you work for Sea Shepherd, you also work during refits between two campaigns. You need to fix the ship, you need to get the ship ready for the other campaign. So that's the time where the cooks have a lot of job because the crew is full. Everybody is working hard on fixing the ship as fast as possible. And so our job is to feed everyone. It's some ships. I was on the Sam Simon, which is now the Age of Union.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a crew. I had to feed 35 people.
Oh, that's a lot.
On refit, it's also very important on campaigns. And as a cook, you have to get the ship ready for the next campaign. So you have to, you know, fool the ship.
Mm. So they clean the kitchen.
In the kitchen. So because sometimes they live at sea for 3 months. So you have to, okay, to check after the campaign. What do we have? What we need, how much we will be. And so it's very interesting, actually.
Yeah, that's a lot of experience. I think you can probably talk about some hours about this. I think we too have so much to talk about anyway. So we have to meet another time just like that and meet we too.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, what is it when I talk with activists? We were talking before we started to record as well about the hard times we face as well as an activist. Do you want to share a little bit about that? Because I know like the people who are listening to this podcast probably might know as well that I faced some hard time too. And my boyfriend especially, and he committed suicide. And the hope, like really, literally the hope was not there anymore. It wasn't feelable or visible anymore for him. And I faced, since that happened, sometimes I can talk about it and sometimes I just can't speak about it at all. And I know that since that moment that many people wrote me as well, activists, which told me, hey, I don't know, I have as well the feeling of everything is breaking down. The world is crazy. People are doing bad stuff. How do we face that? How do we keep the hope? How do we move on here? Do you want to share a little bit about your experience in this field?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's I think it's very important. It's the biggest part of being an activist.
Yeah.
I think that first, this is why we are activists. It's because it comes from the fact that we are suffering about a situation in the world. I mean, I cannot handle the fact that people are destroying the ocean and the earth and killing animals. I cannot handle that. It's just breaking my heart. It's just like it's burning my soul.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that's why I decided to join, that I decided to act. But the thing is that it's that also, okay, I'm going to take action. But then when I face it, when we all face it, it's very brutal, and we are very sensitive people with strong personalities most of the time. And I met so many people that are so intelligent and sensitive with the, you know, a vision of life that it just makes sense, you know. So when you have to face destruction, violence, you know, it's, I mean, I've been through many hard times too. I started to have panic attacks, and my friends helped me on this, because we all support each other, we all understand each other, and we have a medic on board, and to support us, as you know, physical problems. But also mental health is one of the priority, because it's so important. It's a part of the job. It's you have to be strong. I've learned so much about myself, so much about how to keep calm, so much about how to deal with my empathy, my compassion.
Yeah.
How to deal with the fact that I do not support to see a turtle hook on a hook. And I just sometimes also just to face the fact that there's no hope, it's done, and to be in the front line and know things and see things that no one know and no one will ever see, because on TV you don't see that. And then you come back to land, and some people will just make fun of you because you're vegan. And come on, you know, it's, and you're like, I've been to war, man. I've been in Mexico. I had a guy next to me with a fucking gun, because we were going to try to save a dolphin from extinction.
Yeah.
And so then you go back on land, and it's very hard to see it. You know, the politicians don't take any actions, don't even react, even if the scientists and biologists just say doo-doo, doo-doo, since 15 years.
It's
gonna be bad, guys. It's gonna be bad. We are talking about extinction. We are talking about the fact that we won't be able to even breathe.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard then to come back to society and to face this world.
Yeah.
Honestly, even me.
For example, it was the hardest for me, like you say, I think I hear the same. For me, the fact to see these things have been hard enough, but then to go back and to see that so little amount of people knows and is caring, that was even harder. And I think that's the moment and the place where we really have to take care of our own soul, not to break from it. And that's not an easy thing to do. And I think that's what many people are facing. Me too, including. I had hard times so many times. At the moment, I'm quite sensitive on human rights right now, because I got so many requests for Sanus Planet to help. And the stories I'm hearing every single day, they are so heavy that I just break and start to cry, because I think this is not possible. In a world in the 21st century, is it possible that we have more food than ever? We have more technology than ever. We have more knowledge than ever. I'm not talking about the wisdom, because that's something that is missing. Mm. But I'm talking about what we have to fix the problems, but we are not fixing them.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And this is
there are solutions. There are solutions.
They are. They are. The question is, do we want to implement them in our lives? Because that means probably I have to change my own lifestyle, because that's the first step to change things. And
yeah, in a way, that's the way to support this. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, I don't want to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. I have a life to live. Mm-hmm. I love life. I want to enjoy my life, you know, but I cannot support so many things. So in a way, the fact that I take actions first, just in my plate, and mm-hmm. to know that I'm not a part of this. This is not my world. I am the change I want to see in the world, you know?
Yeah.
But so sometimes...
Is it for you then as well, like the way of acting, is that helping you? Or what is the thing that is like for you, for example, if someone asks you, what can I do if I'm breaking down from all of that mess? What would be your suggestion to do?
To disconnect a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think that I'm talking to the people that are making action, not to the people that don't make action. I'm talking to the people that really want to change and are really sensitive to animal cruelty, to, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to disconnect. Yeah. You have to disconnect from this and reconnect to the beauty of the world, and to you need to have fun.
Mm.
You need to have fun.
Yeah.
Life is beautiful, and just do something else. Just watch a movie. Just go to see a game, a sport game, basketball game. Great. Do that. Have fun. Laugh a lot. Go in a party. Dance. Sing. Read the book about something else. You know.
Implement other topics, right? Because sometimes it's just this topic then, and then it's too much.
And it's an obsession. I mean, for me, it's an obsession. Everything I'm doing, I'm like, It just reminds me in the world we're living it.
Mm.
The fact that, I don't know, I'm gonna buy something I like. It's in plastic. Boom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am I supporting plastic industry? Mm. I'm gonna buy something else. I'm gonna support something else. Like, there are so many problems.
Yeah.
Then just, I know my priorities. I know where I can be efficient, mm-hmm. have an impact, I mean. And my priority is that we should not do anything that creates unnecessary.
Now I lost you a little bit. I'm not sure.
Animals, we don't need such violence.
I lost you a little bit. You said we should not support anything that.
We should not support anything that creates unnecessary suffering and violence. Eating the animals is not necessary, and they are suffering a lot, and there are billions suffering right now in the meat industry, in the dairy industry, in the fish industry, billions.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need it.
Yeah.
We don't need it. You can go plant-based.
Yeah.
And this is crazy how much, and sometimes I feel it's, yeah, the fact that we're going fucking crazy sometimes, and it's too heavy to handle. But support is that we are facing brutality and blah blah blah, but also I think that I feel their pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I start to think about the animals around the world, it's billion animals that are actually trapped in industry and
right now
born and raised to be killed, and they are suffering right now, and they are screaming.
Mm-hmm.
and no one hears them.
Yeah.
And fishes don't scream. It's even worse.
Mm.
Worse.
Yeah, this is so important to talk about, because I know for fact, because I do that work every day since 9 years, I know for fact that the most of the people just don't want to see and don't want to hear it. That's why I talk about it even more. I think that some people might not like me because of that. That's possible.
But okay.
I think
that if they don't like you, just, you know, some people won't change. I mean, we've been fighting since years for human rights, human rights, women rights, black people rights. It's, you have still crazy people that still think women are stupid, that still think that white people are superior, mm-hmm. that still think that some people are just don't deserve to leave or something like that. They're still crazy people, mm-hmm. but some people have to fight first. They have to, all the revolution started like that. Some people just been brave and started to think how society just, you know, it was legal to beat your woman, mm-hmm. to beat your wife. It was legal a few years ago. Mm-hmm. It was legal.
Mm-hmm.
It was legal that black people were back in the bus mm-hmm. a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly some people just, you know, just give a voice to just for justice, for peace, for love, and for what just makes sense. Sometimes, you know, I'm like, I don't even believe that I still have to make an interview. Just open your fucking head, you know, think with your head. We're supposed to be intelligent being, you know, just think, look at this.
And maybe thing. Even feel, you know, maybe feel even more than think.
Oh. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know if it's first, but it means both.
It just makes sense, you know?
How is it?
Sometimes it's hard even to explain, and we get angry. Like, what don't you understand in the fact that if you kill a pig, it's going to scream and it's suffering? Mm. It's pretty obvious. Look at that. Do you need your bacon, really? Do you need this?
The cool thing is you can make every... You don't have to go without the taste. You don't have to not have... bacon taste because you can have it vegan. It's completely easy. It's possible. Yeah. All of it. That's the cool thing. And that's where I think this is amazing when we have chefs like you who share this beauty and this amazing taste of showing, hey, you don't have to go without the bacon. You can have a vegan bacon. And it tastes just pretty much the same. If you want it, it's easy.
Well, yeah. Obviously, and it's not even... Sorry, I'm moving because I'm out of battery now. So I'm going to take my charger. Sorry.
That's completely okay. Well, the podcast is getting anyway a bit long. Maybe we have another interview another time, but maybe some more questions now. Can you share one of the most... Yeah, well, you shared one of the most amazing experiences of you already. So that's one. Do you have another story which you want to share? It can be a very beautiful one, or a surprising one, or a funny one. Do you have a story you want to share today? What you have stuck in your mind or so?
I have so many to tell you.
I can imagine.
When you get adventure. Yeah, really, I mean, it's not a joke. I have so many stuff to say.
Yes, I know.
I know so many things. You have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Which one? I don't know. I could pick again about some memories at sea or during campaigns, but I will give... That memory was in April. It was not about a campaign or anything. I just did my first conference in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking in front of 400 people. And I did my conference. I was so nervous. My conference is just about how what to cook to our friends that are not vegan to share our passion for plant-based diet. And so my conference is great. I love it. It's a little bit like stand-up, you know. It's funny. It's and really I think it's necessary to help people. Like, if we just invite your friends to eat at home, but what to cook, you know. And so I was so nervous, and I think I realized after that I was nervous, not only because of the fact that I was talking front of people, which is, you know, quite
different
stressing.
Different than YouTube videos, right?
Yeah, I make YouTube videos, but it's not the same. It's easier,
not the same,
you know. And sometimes I'm like, wow, if I see all my followers, there are more than 60 5,000 people, I would faint. It's a stadium. Mm-hmm. I would faint for sure. But then what I realized after that is that I was nervous also, because for the first time, I just saw that people are listening. Mm-hmm. People are listening to me. Mm-hmm. And they love me. Like they came to hear what I have to say.
Yeah.
And I was not only nervous, I was very excited. And sometimes you're just like, ah! And it was, yeah. I mean, just the challenge is to talk in front of people. But I think that the most part of this experience was that for the first time, I saw hundreds of people listening to my voice. Mm-hmm. This voice that I try to give to the ones that don't have a voice, like fishes, like turtles, like whales. I mean, whales have a voice, but still, we don't hear them. Animals. Some animals have a voice. We don't hear them. I mean, some of us do, but... and so it was beautiful. Mm. It was beautiful to talk to people to see people. And to see the fact they are interested now. Oh, now some people are interested. Now we start to understand that there's a problem.
Mm.
It's serious. There's a big problem. We need to change. Mm. And some people like us that changed a few years ago, we need to give a hand, you know? We need to help the people that want to change. We don't have time. Mm-hmm. We need to hurry. We have to keep on giving a voice and help people, like, okay, you want to change? Boom, I'm going to help you. This is all I know. This is how I live. This is what I eat. Boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to, we don't have time.
Yeah.
It's emergency.
It's an emergency.
And there's a big, big problem. And it was beautiful to see that I'm not talking into the... I was talking to people and they were listening. Mm.
This is
very interesting. Yeah. And it's so good to see. Yeah.
That's amazing. Is it possible to see that speech or was it filmed?
I think so, but no, the thing was that you have to pay to go to the exhibition.
Well, everybody who wants to see Eva's videos, they are online. So check them out on YouTube and follow her. She's really amazing and funny. Even though I watched some of the videos. I don't really understand.
But you have fun.
Really, really funny anyway.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I love it. And you get, anyway, inspirations of what you can cook vegan. Even if you see just the amazing food she's making, it's, wow, I'm getting hungry every single time. And the last thing I want to ask you, do you want to share the most important message from you now in a short, some sentences? What would be your last words for the community today that is listening? What do you want to... really pass on right now?
To enjoy, to keep on enjoying the way. Keep on enjoying what you're eating. Otherwise you won't be able to change if you don't enjoy the food. So enjoy the food, enjoy the fact that you are changing, enjoy the fact that your body is feeling better now that you're eating plants. Enjoy the fact that you are taking action and enjoy this. I don't know. And take care of you first. The most important person in your life is you. You have to take care of yourself, because if you have a heart like mine, please, animals need you. They need us. The planet need people like us. Animals need people like us. And if we want to take action, we need to be healthy. We need to be strong into our minds. We need to be solid. So you need to take care of you first to be, you know, to stand for the animals. Mm-hmm. Stand for the animals. Stand for the planet. Do. You know. And keep smiling.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Eva, for your time.
Thanks to you, Maggie.
Well, I hope that we can definitely make another podcast, maybe in a year, maybe have another book to present. I don't know. Maybe in future, right?
Yeah.
And I think I'm pretty sure that you gave a lot of good information and background knowledge to the whole cool. community. And whenever someone wants to write you or get, I don't know, some information from you, how should they contact you?
Well, I'm on social media. The thing is that I receive so many messages every day. I always check the comments on my Instagram every time I make a post. I check the comments. And or on my website, they can write to me on my website. It's evalipetitplat.fr. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my website, they can write to me. Ooh,
there's my. Nice. Thank you so much, Eva. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thanks.
Stay a little bit longer, but I will finish now this Zoom call, this recording. And I say thank you for listening for this podcast today. And we will see us in, or we'll hear us in about 2 weeks again with the next guest. Thank you, guys.
Bye. Thank you for listening. Bye.